Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, it's actually not Steve. It's Becky Brown. I'm so glad to be with you today. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever this finds you. We are taking your calls for an hour, and we're going to help you. And by we, I mean Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton, who are joining me in the California studio. It's amazing how technology can bring us all together.
I know. We love it.
I know it. And this is the very last day of July of 2020. In case you have forgotten what day it is, we now know that none of us know what day it is most of the time because COVID has kind of crashed the calendar.
So true.
I love that alliteration. But, there's a little tidbit on that. July 2nd is considered, well, it's the middle of the year. And so we are past the middle of the year. We're sliding around third base, coming into home.
I didn't
know. I know. See, now you know.
Thanks.
I just learned these things from, you know, who knows where. But I think about the fact that in this time where everything's kind of murky, we just don't know what tomorrow will bring, which is actually true anyway, right? I mean, nobody really knows what tomorrow brings. But we really know it now. We're, you know, looking for the answers. And I just think that it's really important for us to encourage each other on a regular basis that we're going to be okay. Because a lot of times it's kind of like the Chicken Little thing, you know, where it's like the sky is falling, because it kind of feels like that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I just would love for you guys to encourage our audience today just with, I don't know if it's a scripture that has been ministering to you recently, or maybe somebody told you a little tidbit like July 2nd is the halfway point of the year. is there anything that comes to mind that maybe our listening audience could be encouraged with today?
You're looking to me.
Yes, just a smile. It'd be great.
I think that just the idea of encouragement, Becky, is that, you know, we're all in this, like, all in this together.
Yes.
We're all suffering, right? And it's a rare time where everybody around you is experiencing something universal, right? And so I think I like how some people have intentionally tried to do more acts of kindness and reaching out to people to kind of shift the mood. There's so much negativity and so much has been stirred up, and we see so much hate around us. So how can we do something? I think for each of us, because, you know, I have a lot of clients that get really caught up in the fear, and they're watching the news, and depending on what they watch and see, you know, there's a lot of fear out there. And so we've got to do something to shift that and not just consume fear and anxiety producing information, right?
I love that.
So I think to do something different, one of the things that I've done, and lots of people are doing this, I think, is I started planting a garden. And I go out late at night and I plant little seeds around, and then I get so excited to see things sprouting, and I'm waiting right now for my sunflowers to sprout, to actually have blooms on them. They're getting taller. So something like that's
literally the bloom where you are planted kind of thought process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
no, it's good.
That is. But so I'm just putting them in odd places, and I just, you know, it's really fun. But it gives me a distraction.
And as you hear us talk about encouragement, if you need some, I think about the Bible telling us we don't have because we don't ask. So make your needs known. If you need to be built up by someone in your family, I ask this from my husband, from my kids. Will you tell me something that you like about me? Would you tell me something? I need that.
That's right.
I need that when I'm down. And if I don't ask for it, I'm not necessarily going to get it. But if I ask for it, my family loves to do that for
me. That's
right. So,
And we're going to ask for calls. That's what we're going to ask for, because, you know, if you have not, you ask not. Or, no, something like that. But give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard answering your questions for the next hour. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. Just wanted to make one more point about planting those seeds. You know, one of the seeds I want to plant is for anyone who needs to find some freedom. We are going to have the Finding Freedom Workshop all online, August 8th. And you guys, if you have had every excuse not to get help, why don't you throw those out the window and call us today and register for Finding Freedom. It could be a day of transformation for you. I know it would be. And you don't have to travel. It's, you know, the lowest rate ever. We've got scholarships available. So either go to newlife.com or call us.
And
go
Becky, ahead, people who have done the online workshops have said the day flies by. And it was so worthwhile. So I'm shocked because it is a long day. And you know, instead of stretching it out over a weekend, we pack as much into a day so that you get all the meat of the conference.
Yeah, you're going to have speaking
sessions. You just don't have the meal times with people, right?
Well, you do, but it's online. It's kind of cool.
Okay.
But we're going to have main teaching sessions with Steve and with Chris Williams. And then we have our breakout sessions with our New Life counselor. So it's the deal. But you got to call us and get your seat. It'll be at your house, but
get your seat at your house.
Get your seat at your house. We are going to go to our phones right now, and we're going to talk to Jerry, who listens to us on Sirius XM, and he's from Dallas, and we're so glad you called. Jerry, how can we help you today?
Hi, thanks for receiving my phone call. We're having problems with my stepdaughter. She's 20 years old, and she's like being openly defiant. We asked her to do some things. She just bluntly says no. And it's affecting me and my wife's relationship because she doesn't really want to push the issue with her. And I'm just needing help because it's really affecting our relationship.
So you said she's 20, Jerry?
She's 20 years old, yes.
And has she always lived with you guys?
No, we've been just married for about maybe 2 years in September. So she moved in with us about a year ago, and she transferred schools, so she's living with us now. But she's been really defiant and basically is telling us that she's not going to do this or that, and I don't know what to do. And me and my wife are not on the same page of how to deal with it.
Is she saying no, it sounds like, to most things? And is she saying no to the help that you need from her around the house and the cooperation you need as she's living with you?
Yeah, what is she saying no to?
Help around the house. We simply have her doing just dishes and keeping her room clean. And some days she does it, some days she doesn't do it, some days she half does it, and then she just won't do it at all. And also sometimes when she has company over the house, we tell her it's time to go home for them to go home, get late, and she'll say no. I just take it somewhere else. So it's been an issue for a while, over a year, and I'm at the point now, I don't know what to do because it's really, really affecting our relationship.
It's hard when you get those young adults who are...
Well, it is, and one that has lived out of the house, and now she's back, and Jerry...
Well, this is her first time living with us. This is the first time her living with us.
Okay, right, but I realize that. It's the first time her living with you. But she lived with her mom before that, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a painful divorce.
Okay. So there's probably a lot of resentment there from her. I mean, you're kind of basically, you know, like a stranger in a sense, right? It's a very new marriage. And so some kids, you know, have strong reactions to that. I think, you know, versus trying to focus on how can we get her to do what we want her to do, mm-hmm. have there been discussions around, you know, she obviously is having an attitude with you guys. And it's like, were there any, you know, ground rules set when she moved in? And what? How is she feeling? How is she feeling being in the house? What's it like for her to have lived on her own and now to be back under parental roof? And how is okay. she? How is she dealing with you? Like, you know, this new guy is now with my mom, and the stuff from the divorce, is that even been discussed, resolved, worked on? What's her relationship like with her dad? You know, there's a lot of things to talk about, more than just will you do the dishes and have your friends go home at a certain time, right?
Exactly. The real issue, I think, it goes back, because she's been kind of, her mom said she would be fine from birth.
Okay,
there you go.
A lot of problems with her when she was married to her dad.
Okay.
And also the painful thing that happened was when she and her father separated and got a divorce. Her mom decided to move to Texas, and she's really from another city. Mm. And when she decided to move, she just upped and moved, and she left her daughter, and two of her brothers back in the city she was from, and she took the youngest girl with her. Mm. So I think the older daughter is dealing with some abandonment issues.
I think you're right.
And I think the reason why her mother doesn't press the issue is because she's fearful that she's going to lose her. She lost her for a third period of time, and they're just now getting back together and trying to, you know, mend those things. But she doesn't really want to push her too hard because she feels that the girl's going to get up and leave. But also, from my standpoint, you know, for her just to say no, she's working a full-time job, I'm not going to do this or that, and she goes to school too as well. But I have a hard time dealing with that issue.
So, right. But Jerry, you are seeing some things that, you know, what life has been like for this girl, and the way she deals with her hurt, her stress is to push back, right? She's a fighter,
mm-hmm.
right? She's not going to run and hide. Yeah. She's a fighter.
Right.
You know, I'm wondering for you personally, in a way to maybe work on your resentment with her as well, is I wonder if she'd be open to spending time with you. Could you invite her to go for a walk? You know, do you guys have a dog? You could walk the dog, or let's walk to the corner store and get something. And just spend some time away from the house, away from the things that she's not doing, and get to know her and say, you know, I realize I need to spend more time knowing who you are as a person. And I just want to be a friend. Like, you're just a friend. You're not trying to be a parent. But to try to see things from her point of view, and to maybe see if you can earn the right to say some things. Like, I see that you've been hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. I see how much that must have felt bad when your mom left you and took the younger one.
Yeah. I actually did that about a month ago. Because it was another big blow up. And her mother got into a real bad argument. And she left, and because of that, and but she came back the very next day. But when she came back the next day, I sat down and talked to her. I had empathy for her. I understood.
Good.
I talked a lot about what happened to her and blah blah blah. And my heart went out to her, and I told her that, you know, I literally cried with her, you know.
Mm.
But and we talked about a lot of things. But then now she's like she's going back to her old behaviors. And just saying, okay, I'm not going to do this. And so I'm just trying to figure out, okay, and when I don't really address it myself because I know because our relationship, I can't. And most of my discussions with my wife, and I'm just trying to say, hey, we're in this together. Mm. And I don't have the right to say some things to her, but I'm trying to help you understand that she can't just be defiant to you and me and both of us. And expect for her just to live here and don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. I love your heart, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I love that you have that insight and, you know, that you're looking for a solution for the family. And I'm sure that part of this is a surprise to you. because it's different when it wasn't in your relationship before. Alice, what were you thinking as far as what could help Jerry?
Jerry, I think you did the right thing talking with your stepdaughter as you did. And what I hope is that you'll continue to do that on a regular basis, not just after the blow up, although it needed to happen then, but that even once a week you'd invite her to do what Jill is suggesting and what you did with her that day, which is working to win her heart and showing her on a consistent, ongoing basis that you're trustworthy, you're stable, and that you care for her. I think you already had that good impact on her, and you've seen it dissipate. She needs more of that from you. And I think you'll be modeling something for her that maybe her mother has not been completely capable of doing, but you have the emotional capacity to do that for your stepdaughter. Now, I also think there is time and place to express your concerns to her and to talk about what needs to be different in her treatment of you and her mom, but that comes after that heart investment of showing your care and concern for her in that gentle way.
Right. I love that so much. And you know, the challenge that you have is that it's not going to be a one and done. It's going to be a process.
Right.
So,
right.
Jerry, just continue on that path. I think,
Let me just say also, it's communicating a respect too. When you give her the time and you want to hear her, you're communicating a respect. And that's what you guys are wanting from her, that there's mutual respect amongst adults. I mean, a 20-year-old living at home is a privilege, right? But you know, because of the circumstances, you don't want to lord that over her, but you want to model and encourage respect. And hopefully you'll be able to say some things that, you know, I know sometimes you object to what we ask. I wonder if there's another way you could communicate with us, because we're just trying to be adults here living together in a reasonable manner.
Does that sound helpful, Jerry?
But can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Because I give the daughter a pass. I understand her background and what's happened. So I kind of give her a pass. But the problem we have is that when me and my wife doesn't agree,
right,
is that she tells me, okay, if she's not going to wash the dishes, then you wash them.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I figured,
okay,
yeah, I figured that it was more than just the daughter or the stepdaughter. I think
it's really the mom.
Yeah.
She won't address the issue. She doesn't see it as a priority. And then because I see it, then if you got a problem with it, then you deal with it or you wash the dishes. Right. That's where I'm at now.
Right. And that's what I was thinking too, Jerry, is that it's you and your wife have to get on the same page on so many things.
Exactly.
On the brokenness that you've expressed about what she has been through and her choices of, you know, going to a completely different state and picking certain children to come with her. And I would imagine that when the daughter-in-law or when the stepdaughter acts up like this, it reminds her of those poor choices. And there's some shame and guilt that kind of, you know, that defensiveness starts to come up. And that's why you begin to be the next child, so to speak. And she thinks, you know, well, I'm just going to tell Jerry what to do. And then I don't have to take any responsibility or any, you know, think about this. Mm-hmm. But in a marriage, there has to be, I don't care what age the children are, there has to be a united front where the parents are concerned so that you can talk about things that you're struggling with. And especially like you said, Joe, when you have a young adult that's living in the house, that's a whole nother level. It's just a whole different thing. And then there's a history there. So, you know.
You may have to start doing some speaking to your wife's heart and maybe naming some things that you see going on for her and some of her hurt. And she may not like it and she may bark back. You know, and you just name that too, that you're here for her, that you love her, you know, and you're trying to be supportive and helpful. And you know that means sometimes you have to say things to her that she's not going to like.
I think sending you How We Love, Jerry, I think it's going to be so helpful for you and your wife to get to understand this dynamic that's going on. Children are many times are like a lightning bolt of the bigger picture. And I think that that will help you guys. Yeah, a mirror, a lightning bolt, electric shock, all those things.
Yeah.
that can help us to really look at what is important. I appreciate you calling, Jerry. Alice, did you have anything that you wanted to add before we go to the break?
Well, I think we can give too many passes to people and not speak enough truth of, me doing the dishes, that just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
What I would be willing to do is for us both to talk to our daughter together, or I'll consider other solutions, but I don't know that one's the best one.
That's
so we don't always just have to comply and go along.
Mm-hmm.
We can express where our line is, and
that's
doing
right.
it with truth and love is exactly what the Bible tells us to do. And that
that's
is
right.
loving to do.
That's right. So true. So true. Well, we are going to continue taking calls, and we're going to help you just like we just helped Jerry. And so call us at 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after the break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life. This is Becky Brown, and I am joined with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. We are answering your calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Hello to our Facebook Live family who are still watching, and we appreciate that so much. This is a day for you to call. So give us a call. We're going to help you in some ways. We are going to talk to Jasmine right now. And Jasmine's calling us from Oakland, California, listens on KFAX. Hey, Jasmine, how can we help you today? Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great. Go ahead. What's your question?
My question is I've been married for 7 years. We've been together for 8.5 years and married for 7. This has been the hardest relationship of my life, and we've gone through blood, sweat, and tears. I want to know, how do marriages recover? Are we able to recover, or should we just throw the cow in?
Well, I hope there's not a cow involved, but
no, towel.
Oh, towel. Okay. Well,
I heard cow, too. I know. That's an interesting phrase.
Jasmine, would you tell us what have been the biggest damages done to the marriage relationship? We're hearing some background noise. If there's a radio you could turn off or just move away, that would help us.
They were the staff leader.
Oh, so I have my husband on the other line, so that he can hear. He chooses to listen to the radio, to Pastor Gary right now, as opposed to listening to us.
Oh,
but
if he can be muted, that would be helpful, so we don't hear the background noise. That can help us hear you better. But I'm glad he's listening.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm in and out of my van. So.
Okay, just mute it.
I did.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. What's your name?
Eric.
What's your name?
Eric.
Hi, Eric. I'm glad you're here.
Okay.
So it would help us to know what have been some of the big hurts in the marriage. What has caused some of the damage?
To be honest, it's hard for me to like break it down or make a long story short.
Okay, but why would you be wanting to throw in the towel?
There's been emotional abuse, there's been physical abuse, there's been verbal abuse, we've just gone through almost everything that I feel like everything.
Hmm.
I can't think of anything that we have not gone through, and I don't know how we'll be able to recover if we stay together.
Is the abuse ongoing?
No, it's not. It's been incidental just throughout the years.
And how long ago was the last time?
The last time it was about a little over a month ago.
And what kind of structured help have you two gotten for that?
I've gotten some counseling throughout the years. I've gone to a domestic violence class for victims to learn, to learn more about domestic violence and what I was experiencing.
Have you two gotten any help together? And has Eric, have you gotten help as well?
No. I've gotten help. I've reached out. I continue to reach out just like I am now.
Oh, my God.
Eric told me a number of times he does not need counseling and he does not. There's nothing wrong with him. Doesn't
first
want
him. Gene wasn't a counselor. The lady and family. Never mind. I'm good. Joe's story. Go ahead.
Eric, as you hear that Jasmine is coming to the end of her ability to stay with this possibly, and she's hoping for hope. She wants a future for the marriage, but she's not sure if it can be repaired. As you know that your wife is in that position, does it change your mind, in, for the sake of keeping the marriage together, does it change your mind about participating in something structured to be able to maintain and improve what you have with your wife?
I've been doing all I can, you know. We like she said, we've been through a lot. As weeks and months and years go by, you know, I mean, we can be fine and something to trigger about the past. Now we got to relive it, even if it was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, that's almost an everyday thing. We got to relive something on the past, and we're not going like that. The past hasn't been let go. That's why we're having problems today.
Well, a lot of times, Eric, the past is alive and well in the present because it hasn't been worked through. It hasn't been grieved. It hasn't been processed and resolved. And sometimes we think just talking about it is going to change it. But we need to, excuse me, I got a frog. We need to have a continual ongoing dialogue at times because things get triggered, and it sounds like things get volatile, and you both get very reactive. So it's hard for you guys to then really deal with things when you're just reacting to them, right? So it has.
Well, a lot. Well, I was going to say too, Joe. Well, a lot of times that reactivity just is what the relationship becomes about. We are together because we just react to each other.
Right.
You know, we're going to help you guys. We are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're still answering calls, so people can give us a call. But you know, it's tough when you've been in a ditch for a while, and to try to decide, okay, am I going to abandon this or am I going to go forward? And you know, you got to try everything to fix it before you walk away, or else you'll just try to repeat that cycle in the next couple hundred relationships. So we'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are on the phone with Jasmine and Eric and trying to make some big changes so that we can move forward. And Alice or Jill, how do you want to start?
Well, Eric, I heard you say that you have tried everything and you're on the phone with us right now. And that says something about you and about how you see your marriage and what you want for it. So would you tell me, why did you agree to be on this phone call with your wife?
He didn't. He hung up the first time. He told
Jasmine.
But is Eric still with us? I want to hear your answer, Eric.
Okay. She called me and said, hold on, I'm going to merge the call. Then I hear this. I didn't know it was a live conversation, but I was listening to what I was listening to already, you know. And the last time we talked earlier this morning, she said, don't call her no more. So I left it at that. For the, I mean, we go through that, but I mean, I wasn't going to call her. But I'm listening. I'm here. I'm working, so I'm in and out of my van.
Mm-hmm.
I got it on speakerphone.
Well, we appreciate that you're still on the phone with us. I want to learn a little bit about you, Eric. Would you tell me just a give me a sketch of what life was like in the home that you grew up in?
Only child, raised around my uncles and aunties, my mother, all my friends was on the streets, mm-hmm. San Francisco. I had no cousins my age except for cousins from the streets. So. I'll bounce back from all that, though.
And your dad wasn't in your life growing up, Eric?
Nah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And, Eric, do you and Jasmine have
no excuse. I'm a grown man.
Okay. Do you and Jasmine have children together?
Yes.
You do. How many?
We have four.
Four. How young is the youngest?
Five.
5 years old. All right. Eric, are you a believer?
Yes.
Ah, Jasmine, are you a believer?
Yes, we're both firm believers.
All right.
And that was part of our attraction.
It was.
First base.
All right.
Yeah.
And Eric, what do you want for your family?
It just takes some healing process. I got my tank because, as she tell me, just because I can forgive and let go, or sometimes she'll say brush up under the rug. But I'm forgiving. Like, some people do stuff to me. I got a day or two, like, that's what they're posting me, I let it go, you know? But everybody's not like that, and I gotta really understand. It's hard for me to cope with my wife not being like that sometimes.
Are you saying you want forgiveness from your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah. Forgiveness for how your anger can get out of your control at times?
Out of my control.
Is that what you want forgiveness for?
No, I'm just saying, like, any little thing can trigger up something. I mean, I was going through that, too, because we both did some horrible things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if things will pop up in our head or in my head, and it's on me if I want to entertain it or not, you know? And I try and do my best not to. Because especially if I speak on when I'm entertaining, I know it's not going to be good. Mm. So, and to me, that's reliving the things that we did to each other.
And I agree with you, Eric. Since we are all imperfect, of course you both have made mistakes in your marriage, and you both have hurt each other. And although you, Jasmine, have gotten counseling and you've gone to the DV classes, I think that the hurt is relived in a way between the two of you that keeps it painful. And that it's been hard for you two to get through some healing pain so that the trust can be rebuilt. And so that forgiveness, Eric, that you're longing for can be a deep and true forgiveness. So there is unhealed hurt here, even though it was in the past, but something did happen a month ago. And again, you both have made mistakes. But if you would be willing to allow a third party to guide you through so that the forgiveness can be true and deep and reconciliation can happen, Jasmine, in response to your question, absolutely it can happen. In part because of your willingness to get help, Eric's willingness to be on the phone to answer my questions, I see a lot of hope in that. So yes, there can be transformation, but there's a particular way to talk about the pain and to hear it out, to be a listener to it, that leads towards that forgiveness and true reconciliation. Just rehashing the past can keep us stuck in the past. Eric,
I agree, and I think that's what we've been doing. We've been rehashing it, either brushing it up under the rug or rehashing
it. Okay. So, Eric, I want to hear your reaction to that, too. What do you think? You're breaking up a little bit.
It's a little different. So, sometimes I mean, everything is good, even though we don't live together right now because of the situation. But we've been together like almost every day, all day. Even she's been at work with me, riding with me in my van, everything, listening to this show and all the other Christian radio passes that come on. We've been doing that for the last, like, almost 2 months since we went to Las Vegas together. And a lot of part, I think we've been healing. But then something might come up like today, then it's like back to the drawing board all over again. And I was glad we had projects. Especially after the Las Vegas trip.
So Eric, I think God has the next step for you. I can tell that you are a man that's been working to provide a different life for your family, to keep your family together, that has been important to you. You're a believer. You listen to these shows. You want more for your kids, and you want more for your marriage than you received as a child. And God is inviting you into that next step. Don't just listen to the shows, but accept the help that we offer.
One of the things that we do in reactive mode is when we hear something that we thought was done, we get triggered and we get defensive. And I think that's what's happening for the two of you. Because, gosh, how amazing is it that you've spent every day together for the last 2 months listening and just, you know, obviously we have attraction to one another. There's a connection there. But what happens is you've got to find a way to have a space so that if somebody says something that is from the past, you don't go right back to that same argument at the same level, that you can just hear it and you can hold space. We talk about that all the time. It's like, okay, how can I hear what's being, you know, dredged up so that it can be settled once and for all? Because what we tend to do is it's I don't want to hear about it ever again, but the person who needs to process the pain, where else are they going to take that? What are they going to do with that? And so I agree with you, Alice. There has to be a third party, you know, that is going to guide you guys through the next steps and what that looks like.
Yeah, and let me just kind of normalize something, Eric. You know, it sounds like you guys feel defeated when you're going along and you're doing well and then you have a setback. And I just want to tell you that that is so normal. Right? And the goal is to have more and more time in between those setbacks. Mm-hmm. And that when the setbacks come, it doesn't blow up as big, right? Or you guys don't go down as deep as you once did. So that they're shorter lived and that you guys can kind of nip it before it really flares into a full inferno. And there are times when you're doing well, but then you start to feel that tension building, that might be time to just take a timeout a little bit, right? Say, I think we need a little bit of time out to regroup and then come back in. And whoever is more capable of initiating a timeout, that would be the person to do it. Like, I think things are getting stirred up. I'm going to just step out for a few minutes and go walk around the block and let the other person kind of regroup and then come back. Because what actually, you know, happens when you get triggered, you go into a place in your brain, which is hyper arousal, which is that fight or flight or freeze mode, right? And then you guys can't talk and process things calmly. So you need to be able to step back so that you can come back into the kind of the what we call the window of tolerance, that middle ground where you're more in your adult self and not in a more primitive place.
And I'll tell you, the comfort circle is what helps me do that. It's what I teach to all of my clients. I hurt my husband's feelings the other day. I hurt him badly. He felt very disrespected by me. And I had to calm down too. And when I was able to hear him, I went back to say, I know I hurt you. Would you tell me about it? Tell me about how it affected you. And I used the comfort circle to keep my heart in that window of tolerance so I could hear him without defending myself, because I didn't agree. I actually thought he was wrong, but I wanted to help him heal and I wanted to reconnect with him. And the comfort circle is what helps me stay there, to not go into, well, I'm all bad. Well, I really messed up and boy, this is over. It helps me to stick with my husband and his hurt and his pain. And it brings us into resolution so that we don't have to keep going over that hurt that I caused him.
That's right. Thanks so much, Jasmine and Eric, for calling together. Everybody, pray for them. Mm-hmm. We'll be praying for you. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love, which can give you the information for that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I am just so grateful to have had that call with Jasmine and Eric. And I hope that, you know, you guys, as you're listening, that you hear the dynamics that we all get into. Mm-hmm. You know, they're calling, and boy, you know, just a hats off to Eric for staying with it, you know, and Jasmine for taking the risk to call. It's just really, it's really a hard thing to make that step, but thank God you did. You know, one of the ways that we get to make that step is because we have a great group of folks that help us, and they're Club New Life members. And you can be part of the Club New Life family if you want to join. It's as little as a dollar a day. You can give as much as you want, but at least $30 a month enables us to do all the ministry things that we do and to help folks who are calling, everything from the workshops to airtime, all the different ways that we do it. And it's, and you know, it's less than a cup of coffee a day. We used to say that all the time, but now nobody gets to go out. So you're making your own coffee.
Yeah.
But for the new welcome kit that we've got is a life recovery Bible, the workbook, journal, and we've got some life recovery workbooks on grief, eating disorders, sexual integrity, and divorce. And I can tell you, the Life Recovery series is so life-changing, and it impacts everybody. And so why don't you join Club New Life today? We've got all kinds of great things that are available to you. Just give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com and join. And we're also doing a gift of any amount. You can get the latest book from Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, Growth Has No Boundaries. You've heard of the Boundaries book. Well, Growth Has No Boundaries. So you can call us today and get a copy for your library, or even just give it to someone as a gift. We are all about life transformation, and these are just some of the ways that we do that. And we're just excited to be able to do that. And we're going to continue as long as we can. Right now, we're going to go to a caller. We're going to talk to Ron, who's calling us from Minneapolis. He listens on the podcast, and you can too. You can listen on our New Life app or on the Apple Store or the Android, wherever you get your apps from and your podcasts from. And rate us, too, so that other people will know about the New Life podcast. Ron, how can we help you today? And thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say thank you for your work with that other couple, and praise God that they're willing to call in and hopefully get some help for those children. Mm-hmm. And their family. I'll mm-hmm. keep them in prayer.
Thank you, Ron.
So,
yes.
That really ministered to me as well. I mean, I'm involved in a marriage that's been going on. We've been married for 10 years, been together for about 12 years, and it's been a dysfunctional marriage really ever since we met. It was, we met in a sinful situation, and without going into the big, long story, fast forward 10 years later, now we have a 6-year-old little girl. And my wife and I are both older. I'm 59 and she is 53. And so anyway, my concern is my wife drinks. She's had an alcohol problem. When we first met, we were drinking regularly and fighting regularly and all the stuff that went with that. It was a volatile, high romance relationship. And anyway, 8 years ago, I got sober and I felt the Lord saying, you know, you can't follow two masters, and I've been in recovery and, you know, working real hard at that ever since. And there's been a lot of change. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife and I did attend the New Life Marriage Intensive. Mm-hmm. We've been to Weekend to Remember with Family Life, and we are now currently in counseling. We've been involved in counseling for about just coming close to a year, about 11 months. She retained an attorney, mm-hmm. about close to a year ago. Her father passed away. Her mother lives with us now as a result recently of this COVID thing. So it's a very interesting dynamic. But the real challenge is that both her and her mom's an alcoholic and she's an alcoholic, and they support each other. She has a 19-year-old, my stepson, and he's real aware of all that stuff that goes on anyway. So, I mean, as well. So my challenge is she does show up for counseling, and every once in a while I get glimmers of hope. And, you know, I understand that unless she's willing to really face her denial and sort of look at that situation, then there's just so much, you know, lies. And she'll mm-hmm. say that, you know, it's not a problem because she's functional and all this stuff. She does, you know, she's a good mom. She has a caring heart. But what happens is when the witching hour kicks in, out comes a nasty card, and things can get really volatile. And so I try to set boundaries and it just makes it really rough.
So,
and
Ron,
it's confusing for the
Ron, we only have a couple minutes left in the show, and we want to give you some good insight.
Yep.
I think we got a good picture, and I think one thing right off the top is that it's really difficult. Congratulations on your sobriety, but it's really difficult when you've worked through your own sobriety, but you're still surrounded by folks that are, you know, stuck in their own addiction.
Right.
Jill or Alice, do you want to go ahead? Because we only have a few minutes.
Okay, what's...
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to get to my question.
Yeah, what's your question?
My question is for the six-year-old, because quite a bit of parent alienation. My wife does quite well at trying to make me look like the bad dad, and you know, it's I'm not perfect by any means, but there's quite a bit of sort of making dad out to be the bad guy and teaming up with mom and all this sort of stuff. So I'm just kind of curious if, from a standpoint of emotional... growth and well-being for my six-year-old, am I better off removing myself? The thing is, you know, my wife would be happy if I dipped out of the picture and just had her mom and my daughter at the house. I'm just curious, as far as emotionally for my daughter, if she'd be better off having 100% of me being who I am without mom cutting me down and disrespecting me and disparaging me in front of her during the time that I have her. Or is it better for me to stay in the marriage and continue with counseling and trying to, you know, and continue trying to work on it? Even though it seems like my wife is just like, it's just a sham, like she's putting on a front of what she, and I'm pretty sure she's having at least an emotional affair, if not a physical affair. So, because her working on the counselor says just doesn't happen.
Okay, but you guys have been going to the counseling, right?
Yep, and that still continues. She's still willing to do that.
She still...
I haven't received any papers yet.
Okay, so
as
long as she's willing to do that, I would continue in that. Ron, you have a six-year-old little girl. You want to do everything you can to keep things together, right? Obviously, we want it to be healthier in the home. But, you know, in divorce, you only have half as much influence. Right? And everything you dislike right now in your marriage, you get more of without having, you know, any of the good stuff. And then there are limitations on you being with your daughter. So
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would say, even though people think, oh, it would be a relief, and you look at all the positives, you don't realize all the other things that come with it and how your life then is dictated by the courts and different things. So as long as she's willing to go, I would still hang in there and continue to do the therapy. Has there been any interventions or anything on her drinking?
No.
Okay.
Nope. The counselor that we see says, you know, use is okay, but abuse is never okay. So, of course, for her, that means that she's not abusing, she's just using. And all the problems are mine. She's owned a little bit of stuff, but that drinking continues every night. And so I go to bed, she stays up until midnight and Skypes with her brother and some other guy. There's no emotional connection between us at all, or the desire to actually, like, hey, let's kick in and own some of our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are coming right down to the line. Alice, do you want to say anything before we run out of time?
I just agree with Jill that you need to stay as an influence for your daughter, and I would be getting a prayer team together, praying protection over you, over the six-year-old, your wife as well, and considering an intervention might be a next necessary step. Mm-hmm.
We are so glad you called, Ron. We're glad for all of our callers. Thanks for listening today, and tune in again. And if you need any help, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.